Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the UK retail giant Marks & Spencer has updated its customers today about that recent major cyber attack, and they've revealed that customers' information has been stolen. Now, it has stressed that it has no evidence that customer information has been shared, and it confirmed that this information does not include payment details. But as demand from retailers grows for more and more information about us, how can we protect ourselves from having our details compromised? Let's get more on this with Ronan Murphy, who's Chief Strategy Officer with Forcepoint and also a cyber security expert. Ronan, thank you for joining us this morning. I suppose it's cold comfort for customers, really, isn't it? I mean, you're told that your information has been stolen, but it's not your payment details. I mean, nobody likes to think that any personal data would be lost in an attack like this.
Absolutely, Claire. You took the words out of my mouth. I mean, the communication is that the data has been stolen, but it hasn't been shared yet, or it doesn't include your payment details, which isn't much comfort to consumers who've fallen victim to the compromise. So it happened on April 19th to Marks & Spencer. Unfortunately, whenever retailers are targeted, it's typically really problematic because they hold vast quantities of consumer data, and it's problematic for them because they've had a lot of inconvenience to their ability to transact as normal since the 19th of April, and they're still in the depths of trying to deal with this problem.
Yeah, it was a really serious cyber attack on the Marks & Spencer system, affecting not only their online sales but also their ability to stock their shelves.
Yeah, 100%. And what's actually super interesting about this one is that typically when these type of attacks take place, they're usually by the same threat actors who's the bad guys from, you know, locations like Russia. But interestingly, the guys who did this scattered spider, it's believed that they are either a UK or a US based cyber criminal gang, which is really an interesting turn on the events in this particular scenario. And as you rightly said, the impact on M&S due to this breach is unbelievably problematic, both from a regulatory perspective and from a business as usual perspective.
So Marks & Spencer, in that statement this morning, and it's gone out on social media and it's gone out to its customers, and it's also a business statement as well, I suppose, offering some reassurance that they're in control to some extent. But they've advised people, or they've said, that when you log on to Marks & Spencer the next time, you'll be asked to change your password. Is there anything else that M&S customers should do, or indeed retail customers online in general, Ronan, to protect yourself?
So, Claire, when I was speaking with your researcher earlier, I mean, the advice that I gave is that if I'm ever sharing my email address with online retailers, given how heavily they're targeted by cyber criminals, I tend to use a secondary email address, you know, one like a Gmail account, which isn't my primary email. And the simple reason being is that these organizations tend to fall victim to cyber hacks more frequently than your average type of company, let's say a bank, for example. And therefore, you have to kind of, when you're sharing your personal information with them, you have to be cautious. You have to kind of ask the question, you know, the information I'm sharing, if they fall victim to a cyber attack, what type of fallout could that mean for me personally? So, I mean, the type of advice that we would use are, you know, if possible, use a secondary email account with these organizations. It also cuts down on the amount of spam that you get. Use strong and unique passwords. Don't use the same password that you use for Marks & Spencer's that you use for your online banking, for example. And be cautious of phishing scams. Monitor your accounts. You know, if you receive unexpected messages, you know, question everything.
So, but if you have a Gmail account, like a secondary account that you're using for online shopping, if you're using it for all of your online shopping, Ronan, aren't you just as exposed?
I don't think so, because, I mean, if you have an account and you know that account, typically when you share your email address with online retailers, you're just going to fall victim to getting spammed. You're going to see a large amount of inbound marketing trying to flog different products to you. So if you're sharing simply an email address and limited information about yourself because it's an online retailer, then the damage that you can fall victim to is substantially reduced, as opposed to, you know, sharing more sensitive information about who you are.
Mm-hmm. Now, the work that you do, you know, helping companies to protect themselves, it's always evolving, isn't it? Because we see from this that cyber attackers are still finding workarounds to the various measures that the companies are putting in place.
They're getting better. They're getting so substantially and significantly better. And that's not just a statement. That's factually correct. All of the empirical evidence shows that cyber crime is increasing at an exponential rate. And the predominant reason for that, Claire, is that these guys are using AI to make their attacks far more proficient. Your listeners will remember, you know, years back when they would get an email from a Nigerian prince who would leave them all their money if they shared their bank account details. They're now gone, and the types of phishing attacks are far more sophisticated. They're far more nuanced in their approach and their rhetoric. And I would say they're kind of geo-targeted. So you'll have crime syndicates who target Ireland, and they target Denmark, and they target, you know, different jurisdictions, and they customize their attacks specifically for the population in that location. And the result of that is that they're just far more successful at compromising individuals, getting access to their systems, whether that's a home user or indeed if it's a business. And the result of that is what you're seeing here with Marks and Spencer, or the hundreds of small enterprises who fall victim to this on a daily basis.
With a large scale attack like the one we've seen on Marks and Spencer, ultimately, yes, is that gang looking for financial information, or are they happy to get all of the other personal information so that they can build a picture? What are they looking for?
No, this is absolutely about extortion. This is about getting M&S to pay them to not share the data, and to, you know, it's an extortion tactic. The problem is that should the organization who's fallen victim to this crime, in many cases they pay, in many cases they don't pay. If they don't pay, then the attacker's next avenue to try and monetize their endeavors here is to start chopping up the data they've stolen and see if they can have a secondary compromise. For example, we've successfully exfiltrated the data belonging to Ronan Murphy. Can we build a profile or a picture of who he is? Do we have his password? Potentially, how do Marks and Spencers know they haven't got my financial detail? You know, I'm sure they're conducting a forensic investigation. But naturally, how these things flow through the system is that the guys who've stolen the data will start their secondary line attacks, you know, 3, 6, 9 months down the line from the initial attack.
Right, it's fascinating stuff, Ronan. Thanks so much
Indeed.
For explaining it
Thank
to
you,
us.
Claire.
Ronan Murphy there from Forcepoint. Up next, delays to the public health labelling system for alcohol.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.